Hey everyone, welcome to the 14th episode of Field Reports, formerly the ARC episodes. I'm your friendly neighborhood DM Tom, and I've got a few things to cover before we get into the speedrun of the next 7 to 8 episodes of the campaign. First and foremost, thank you for sticking with us for the last 2+ years. Next time I do this, it will be a grand total of 3 years the podcast has been going, so... Wow. Yeah, just let that sink in. Glad that you're here with us and you went down the rabbit hole. It's only going to get crazier from here. Second, please check out our social media accounts on most major platforms if you can. Just search for the Medusa's Cascade on the platform and give us a follow. We have some cool stuff coming and it's worth checking out. Lastly, if you're listening on a streaming platform, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please take a few minutes to rate, review, and subscribe. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it does help to get the podcast out there for others to discover, and we would all appreciate the love and support. So without further ado, we'll get into the next chunk of the campaign here with ARC number 14, or Field Reports number 14, Under the Web. See you on the other side. Party's journey continues to unfold with a critical meeting. They make contact with Alicia, a prominent resistance member and owner of Herbal Delights. Alicia imparts her knowledge about the enigmatic web of fate and offers her support for the group's upcoming plans. Argyle, Shanks, and Salix meet with Iggy, Lady Cree, and a familiar Arakocra, Lenore, engaging in tense negotiations and gathering crucial information before reuniting at a local tea shop. Meanwhile, Glad, Zex, and Galahad seek refuge in a safe house, trying to recover from the morning skirmish. It becomes evident the party is plotting to eliminate the Web of Fate members one by one, with their sights set on the tiefling, Garen. As the party assembles at the tea shop, the decisive moment approaches. They meticulously scrutinize their plan, and at this juncture, Galahad ponders on the Stone of Revival. What do they truly know about it? This newfound variable is factored into their strategy. Everyone takes their designated positions, and with clever thinking from Voyas, Garen's path is redirected towards their trap. Tension fills the air, and the outcome remains uncertain. Luring Garen into an alleyway, the party enacts their ambush plan. Things seem to go smoothly until she tumbles into a manhole and loses her bow. However, this marks a turning point for the team. A bewildered and frightened Garen casts magical darkness on Galahad's armor, and by the time Glad dispels it, she vanishes without a trace. Despite their efforts, including magic and divine intervention, they lose their target. Eventually, Galahad, Zex, and Shanks abandon the tunnel, leaving Garen's bow behind, and the team regroups to plan once again. After the unsuccessful attempt to remove Garen from the equation, the party reevaluates their options with time slipping away. They consider going after the Stone of Revival and ask Iggy for information on gaining access to the Shrine of Fate. Iggy reveals that he possesses two amulets that can grant entry, allowing them to pose as captains. They arrange to meet with him and secure the amulets and gather any relevant information about the tower, ritual, the stone, and the Web of Fate members. It seems like the party is planning a heist, but they can't pass up the opportunity to take a shot at another member of the Web, the Owlin, Grimwing. The party heads to a known hangout for the Rogue, a casino in the Vice Ward that resembles a stranded ship. They meticulously plan their move, with Zex overseeing the exits from the Crow's Nest, and Shanks, Argyle, and Salix disguising themselves as nondescript wood elves. The rest of the party remains invisible due to Salix's magic. As they reconnoiter, they spot their target, Grimwing, who appears anxious and makes a suspicious gesture. One of his associates heads for the door, and despite their attempt at interference, the party realizes they must strike now, or lose their chance. Galahad and Voyas move in, but Grimwing's bow of warning alerts him to danger. Tension is high, and the stage is set. Voyas blocks the door to the Harpy Room, inciting panic among the casino's patrons. Zex, outside, spots approaching guards and the distant sounds of Arbane's voice and his creatures. Meanwhile, inside, the party quickly unravels the mystery behind the Stone of Revival and the Venom Walkers. As Grimwing meets his demise, a blinding flash of light emanates from his chest, travels to the tower, and returns to him. He transforms into a grotesque, drider-like creature that screams, drawing the attention of the entire casino. Galahad, Voyas, and the others move to confront the creature, while Zex realizes that it's time to act. Grimwing falls, only to be revived as this monstrous entity yet again. Salix banishes the creature, and Galahad opens a massive exit with his sword. The group disappears into the night, unsure if they were followed, but confident the information they gained was invaluable. And Venice is on high alert, and the party is exhausted, yet accomplished, and they choose to rest before the impending chaos of the following day. The party's attempt on Grimwing's life may have failed, but it yielded valuable insights into their adversaries. The night hung heavy with tension as the party sought their well-deserved rest, fearing it might be their last. Conversations were had, but it was the dreams and visions that proved to be most intriguing. Voyas received a direct message from the Daughter of the Flame, revealing her role in the group and the unfolding story and impending events. As they woke, they discovered a bestial spirit of a carousel kitten left by Arbane, accompanied by a note scrawled in the dirt reading, "Be seeing you soon, kitty cat." Dark moments ensued, leading to a familiar skirmish, Duo briefly falling, Zex reviving him and dispelling the bestial spirit, and eventually Voyas reaching out to Zex mentally, only to hear his anguished cries as the stress of recent days and their mounting challenges pushed him to the breaking point. The group resolved to proceed with their plan to infiltrate the Shrine of Fate, using the captain's amulets provided by Iggy. Shanks and Argyle embarked on this perilous journey, venturing deeper into the shrine, navigating shark-infested waters where a single misstep could have dire consequences. Nevertheless, they pressed forward, aware of the importance of their mission. Inside the shrine, Argyle's divination magic saved them from a potentially grim fate when they encountered most of the Web of Fate members. They successfully retraced their steps and returned to the rest of the party at the safe house, sharing the vital information they had uncovered. Now, it's the final hours before all the pieces of this intricate puzzle fall into place. With so much at stake, various members of the team reach out to their patrons, each seeking favor and guidance. They meticulously plan, considering all contingencies in case of failure or unexpected obstacles. The plan may seem audacious, but in this world of high risk, they know that sometimes only the most daring plans can succeed. So this part of the Web of Fate arc was tough but rewarding, both from my standpoint as the GM and from, I think, the player's standpoint. The party up to this point was actually pretty good at having things sort of bounce their way, and it was really very interesting to see how they continued to move forward after several setbacks and close calls. It really does set things up rather nicely for the final battle that is to come. Please check out our social media accounts on most major platforms. Just search for the Medusa's Cascade on the platform and give us a follow if you have some cool stuff coming and it's worth your time to check out. Also, if you're listening on a streaming platform, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please take a few minutes to rate, review, and subscribe. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it does help get the podcast out there for others to discover, and we would all appreciate the love and support. We'll see you next week for Divergent Paths, and in 2 weeks for Collateral Damage 122. Until then, safe travels.